Very much. I just want to say thank you to Uncle Jared and Auntie Debbie for, you know, their good servant heart that I experienced over the years. It rubbed on me. Maybe all that time, the fishing, and God was teaching me something, I'm not sure. But here I am. Great to hear from Glennis. I was very inspired. And Trevor Chandler was a man I really respected. He was a man who carried the fire till the last breath, you know. He was a man who boldly spoke the word of God with courage. Now, remember back in 2011, I was next door. He was doing communion one night, and I went up. He made an altar call, and I went up, and he gave me a prophetic word, and it stuck with me all these years. And it was so strong, and he hardly knew me, and it's something that I will never forget all my life. And I knew, you know, from a man of God, it meant something to me. You know, when I prayed, you know, for God's plan and purpose in my life, I would say, God, what did Trevor Chandler say about this? What about this? What do you want from me, you know? So he's in a better place, and, you know, he's inspired me a lot in my personal life. So shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning. Lord, we thank you that we are here for such a time as this. Lord, you promised that two or three gather in your name, and you are in their midst. Lord, I just thank you for every individual, every family, every home, every soul, that you care for them, Lord. And I pray that as I speak, the Holy Spirit would speak through clarity through me, Lord. I pray that as I speak, Lord, every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, may it glorify you. Lord, I'm not on the spotlight, but you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a great honor and a privilege for me to stand up here and, you know, preach the word of God. I want to thank Pastor Jared for giving me this great opportunity. And above all, I want to thank God for this privilege. When he approached me and said, Josh, how about, you know, what do you think about preaching on the 26th of Sunday? I was like, really? Hope on church Sunday morning, you're giving me a shot? That's I would say yes to that any day. I'm not good enough for it, but, you know, I will give it a shot. Well, Ben comes to me and say, mate, how about you speak this night? I say, really? Yes. Great honor, you know. I take every opportunity as an opportunity that God gives. And we're continuing in the series on serving, and we've been hearing great messages, you know, over the last couple of weeks about serving. And I'm standing here speaking about serving, not because I got a better servant heart than any of you. And I know many of you have a much bigger servant heart than I do. I'm a work in progress. But I just want to share with you what God put in my heart over, you know, about this whole topic. I was born and brought up in a Christian family back in India. And brought up in good Christian values. And I went to church every Sunday. I kept going to church every Sunday because my parents did. So I wasn't following Jesus, but I was following religion. My parents weren't following religion, but I was. I kept going to church because I had religion, not relationship with Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until in 2013 I went to London for 1 year. God started to really stir my heart. God started to work, wrestle with my heart. At times I thought, am I losing my mind? Or, God, are you stirring me? What's going on in me? You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, he has planted eternity in human heart. And I was working 5 days a week. You know, money was coming in, money was going out. Sometimes I work Saturday. Just normal life. I started to feel something is not right. I'm missing something big. And I remember I would randomly just go to catch a tube and just get off at Oxford Street, London, and, you know, just walk up and down the street, hundreds and hundreds of people just walking past, going to work, doing their thing, shopping, all that stuff going on. I'm thinking, this is not right. What's going on? You know, they're working hard, earning money, paying the bills, paying their house off, paying the car off, and one day they die. That's not right. Does not make sense to me. And I said to God, there has to be more meaning and purpose to this Christian life than this. What's my purpose in life, God? Is there something God has in store for me than having a career, having a good income, having a family, and going to church on a Sunday for the sake of it and just praising God? Is that all there is? If that's what Christian life is, Lord, I just want to walk away from it because I'm wasting my time. And God started to really started to work in my heart. And you know, there is a purpose and a reason to live. We are all called to serve in the kingdom of God. We are born to serve. We are saved to serve. And we are called to serve till the last breath. We are called to be fishers of men. And there is this true story of a Christian man I want to share with you called, his name, African man called Babaka. Not sure if it's the right pronunciation. I read about him. And he lives in Central Africa. And one day this man got really frustrated with the very poor content that the local radio station was broadcasting. It's very, very poor stuff. So he got really frustrated, and one day he thought, well, I'm going to go and see the director of this radio station and have a chat. So he goes to this radio station headquarters, and he sees the director of the radio station, and he said, look, if you give me 1 hour a day, I will fill it for nothing. All I need is 1 hour. And the manager said, look, let me have a think about it, and we'll get back to you. And the reply came, very well. We'll give you 5 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning. And you have to do it for free. We're not paying you. And happy days, Babaka got really excited about it, and he rearranged his life so that he would get up at 4 in the morning, and he would travel to this place. So he gets there at 5, and he starts to preach the Word of God through the radio. And he starts to teach the Bible. And he faithfully started to serve Christ in his capacity. And weeks went by, months went by. 5 o'clock in the morning, this is happening. And this young man started to think, well, I wonder if anybody is actually listening. Or am I wasting my time here? I wonder if anybody's up at 5 o'clock in the morning listening to me speak through the radio. So he decided he would put it to test. So he said through the radio the next morning, if there is anybody listening to me at 5 o'clock in the morning, I would like to meet you. I would love to meet you, have tea and fellowship, hoping there's at least one person would rock up. And he decided to set the venue and the time. And finally, the day came where the meeting was meant to happen. You know, the thing with the God business is you got to be ready for anything. When you're in God's business, sometimes you got to sit back, fasten your seatbelt, and let God take you for the ride of your life. You are not in control of this, right? Mr. Babaka arrives at this place hoping there's at least 5 or 6 people will rock up. Believe it or not, 120,000 people rocked up at that venue throughout the day to hear him speak. This is the God we serve, ladies and gentlemen. He faithfully served God, and revival hit the town. You know, the world defines greatness in terms of power, possession, prestige, position. Everybody wants the highest position. That's what greatness comes, according to the world. And you know, we live in the me culture, right? It's all about me, my time. I've had many people say, well, Saturday is my time. I said, how does that work? I don't want any text messages, nothing. It's me time. I go to the shopping center myself. I just want that space. Recently, I was talking to a young man who actually planted a church somewhere close. And I said, hey, how do you feel coming to my place on Monday night and share something with the young fellows? Share your journey with it, with the guys. And he said, I'm sorry, man, I would love to do that. That'd be great, but I'm pretty guarded on Monday. It's my time with the family. I could be wrong, but he's a shepherd and he's got sheep in the church. And if your sheep is going through a difficult time on Monday night, you would say, I'm pretty guarded, my friend. Come to me on Tuesday. So in this me culture, acting as a servant is not very popular. However, it's a different story in the eyes of Jesus. He measured greatness in terms of service, not status. God determines my greatness and your greatness by how many people we serve, not by how many people serve you and me. Right? It's not about me getting on a website and just giving 3.5 stars or 5 stars. You know, 2 stars, your service wasn't good enough. It's about me serving you. And this is all contrary to the world's view of greatness. And recently I was on the phone with a friend back in India, and he was telling me about this Christian organization, very big. There are many churches under it. And they're trying to find a pastor to take charge of this church. And back in India, how it works is a pastor would serve in a church for 3 to 4 years, then he will get transferred to another church. So they're looking for somebody to take over this church for a period of time. And this man, he was very interested in it. He rocked up to the headquarters and wrote a nice resume and said, I've done this, I've done that. I'm the best candidate. Don't take the other guys. I'm the best candidate. They ended up not picking him because they found someone a lot less experienced but a servant heart. Today I want to look into John chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Now, in this passage, John gives us a beautiful story, tells us this beautiful story that happened on the last evening in Christ's life. Now, Jesus has returned to Jerusalem, and he has given orders to two disciples to prepare the Passover meal for him and the rest of the disciples. And Jesus knows the hour has come for him to be crucified. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus knows the hour is so close for him to go through the worst storm that he will ever face at the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you knew you had probably 1 year left in your to live, or maybe 6 months, or maybe three, maybe 1 week, you probably would not worry about what you're worrying right now. If you had 1 week left, you would probably try and reprioritize your life, try and do the most important thing. Maybe create a bucket list or something. Travel the world with my family, or meet someone famous, some celebrity, or President Trump or something. This is the final moments in the life of Jesus Christ. And it seems very strange to me, in the final moments of the life of Christ Jesus, he would wash feet. It seems very strange to me, in the final moments of the life of Jesus Christ, the thing that he prioritized the most was getting down on the floor, washing the disciples' feet. You know, foot washing was considered to be a task that's, you know, that's for the slaves who are at the bottom of the hierarchy, you know, and it's very, very much unheard of someone who is a social superior washing the feet of a social inferior. And in biblical times, feet washing was very important because those days there were no roads like this. It was all dusty and muddy, and people wore their sandals out on the streets, and they would collect all the dust and the mud during their journey, and they would come back home, they would wash their feet themselves, or they would go to a guest place or a host. The guest would come and wash their feet themselves before they enter the house or before they have a meal. If you go to a wealthy family, they would have slaves to wash the feet of the guests. Now, in spite of the fact that washing feet was a job that the slaves would do, Jesus willingly got down on the floor and performed the service. For the word says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Now, Jesus got off from the meal, and in some versions it says he laid aside his outer garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. You know, sometimes you have to take aside your agenda, put aside your comfort, put aside your plans, your pride, your ego, my ego, and gird yourself with the towel of humility and get down and serve like Jesus did. The late Dawson Trotman, he was an evangelist and founder of the Navigators. Navigators is a Christian organization where they would disciple and train people to share their faith with others. And as far as I know, that organization is still functioning. It was founded in 1933. So Dawson Trotman, he was traveling the world, and he was in Taiwan. And while he was in Taiwan, he went hiking with this Taiwanese pastor up this mountain. There was a village up this mountain, and they wanted to go meet some Christians up on the mountains. So the trails were really muddy and wet, And a few days later, somebody asked this Taiwanese pastor, "What do you remember the most about Dawson Trotman?" And without hesitation, this man said, "He cleaned my shoes." Now, greatness comes from serving others. And Jesus poured the water into a basin and began to serve and wash the disciples' feet and dried them with the towel that was wrapped around his waist. And this means he would have to wash Judas's feet too. This means he would wash the feet of the man who would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know about you, I would be tempted to break his feet. It's not very nice, I know, but I would be thinking, you walked with me all during my ministry time and you betrayed me. But Jesus did not do that. He got down and he washed his feet too. And then he came to Peter and Peter stops him. "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." See, Peter is really confused here. Peter is thinking, "Lord, you are the Son of God. You are the promised Messiah. You are God's beloved Son. I am nothing but a poor fisherman. How dare you get down and wash my feet? I should be washing your feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Dear friends, this is where I want to work on a bit. This is what struck me the most. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I serve you, you have no part with me, Peter. Unless we serve one another, we do not have fellowship with Jesus. Unless we serve the community, we are no part with Jesus." This is quite a confronting statement from Jesus, you know. What does this mean to us? What does God expect us to do? And I want to look into Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Christ is the head of the church, which is his body." The church is his body and Christ is the head. And we are all part of that one body in Christ. The manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth in the New Testament is the church. The church is the instrument through which God acts. The church is the instrument through which he performs wonders and miracles. The church is the instrument through which he serves. The church is the instrument through which he seeks and saves the lost. Without him, the church cannot speak the truth. Without Christ as the head, the church will lose its direction. Now, humanly speaking, your body is the servant of your brain. Like, my muscles will obey what the brain says. Now, if I see a lion chasing me, I see the lion. The optic nerves behind my eyes will send signals to my brain, and the brain will send signals to my leg, run. But if my brain is dysfunctional, the body can't move. The body is dysfunctional. If Christ is not the head of the church is dysfunctional. The church is paralyzed. Now, the brain can send the signal to my leg, run. I can still choose to stay where I am. A lion's coming. And I would become nothing but a good, tasty meal for the lion, right? We can either choose to be obedient to Christ, who is the head, or we can choose to be disobedient to Christ and stay paralyzed. Christ came to serve, and he expects the body to serve, the church to serve. If we do not serve, we fail to impact the community that we are in. If we do not serve one another, the church will not grow. If we do not serve, we have no fellowship with Jesus Christ. And when we start to serve one another, when we start to serve the person that hurts you, when we start to serve the lost and the needy, revival happens. That's when the light of Jesus Christ drives the darkness out of the community. The church starts to be impacting the community. In Revelation chapter 1, John, who was in prison in the island of Patmos, Jesus gave him a revelation. He saw the Son of Man dressed in a long robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze from a furnace, burning from a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came sharp double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Now John saw the glorious, majestic Jesus Christ who is in heaven. An amazing picture of Jesus Christ in heaven, in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his riches. And Paul says in the prison in Rome, awaiting a death penalty, he says, have that same attitude that is in Christ. We must have the same attitude that is in Christ. Though he was God, though he held seven stars in his right hand, though he had sharp double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, he took the shape of a man. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, there is this Hindu professor back in India. One day he realized there's a Christian student in his class, and he said to this young fellow, and he said, if you Christians acted like Christ, this whole nation of India will be at your feet tomorrow. I think the whole nation of India will be at our feet today if we acted like that, not tomorrow. You know, God's purpose is to make us like Christ. What will you do with your life? What will you do with the limited time that you got on earth? You know, I know we got to go to work. We got to pay the bills. We need to do what we got to do to sustain your family. But is that all? Is that all there is to life? Coming it in, you know, bringing it in one door and slinging it out the other door? Is there anything in your life that's bigger than you? Is there anything in this life that's bigger than what you want? That's bigger than what you need? Is there anything in your life that's bigger than what you drive? That is bigger than the house you live in? Or are you in the business of just sustaining yourself? That you have no higher purpose or no higher reason to live? If the Christ that we worship came down to earth, took the form of a human, acted as a slave, then no level of education, no level of income, no nothing can exempt you and me from serving. Can I please request the band to come up? Thank you. You know, I tasted the pleasures of this world at a period of time in my life. I walked away, followed the wicked ways of the world. But sometimes I think maybe it was good that I tasted it because it makes me appreciate the journey that I'm in now. It makes me appreciate how good God is. It makes me appreciate how much life is in Christ. A few weeks ago, a couple of young men, including myself, we were out on the streets on a Thursday night, and we met this young man, and we had a good conversation with him, and he said he got kicked out of house from Gold Coast, and he's been homeless for the last month and a half, living on that 10-foot ramp at Morrifield Skate Park. And he had his mate with him. He said we were both been living on that 10-foot ramp skate park. And he said, Josh, every night I contemplated taking my life. I could not find a reason to live. I could not find a purpose to live. And he said one night this young fellow came to the skateboard park, saw these guys living there, you know, homeless. He said, come and live with my parents. And we ended up going to this place where they live. This guy said to me, you want to meet my mom and dad? I said, I thought you said your mom and dad live in Gold Coast. He said, no, this is my real mom and dad, who took me off the streets, who gave me food to eat, who gave me a shelter, you know. It made me think, it really struck me. Made me think of the story when Jesus was speaking to the crowd and someone said to him, your brothers and your mother is waiting for you outside to speak to you. And Jesus said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he looked at the disciples and said, here are my brothers and here is my mother. For whoever does the will of the Father is my mother and my brothers. And you know, this young man took us to that place at Morrowfield, and what I saw really opened my eyes. God opened my eyes. There were about 9 young teenagers living in that place, all taken off the street, drug addicts, homeless. And this couple opened up their home, Christian couple, serving the community. And I saw a rich servant heart in that couple. And I thought, Lord, I'm a long way away from this. Lord, I'm a really selfish man. Thank you for opening my eyes to see what the world is going through. May I take this opportunity to encourage you and challenge you. Do you have a part with Jesus Christ? Do you have fellowship with Jesus Christ? Are you serving one another? If I'm speaking to somebody here who has never accepted this Jesus Christ, who can transform you like never before, if that's you here tonight, if he could change my life, if he could let go of my self-centered, selfish life, he can do that to you.